Praise God. It's good to see Brother JT again and to be here under the tent. I believe the tent's a little bigger than I thought. He said 60 by 90, but it looks to me like it might be a little bigger than that. But anyway, it's a beautiful tent. There's something about tent work that there's nothing else like. I see a lot of people here tonight that I know, some I don't know, and I'm looking for some that I thought would be here tonight. It's really good to be here, especially good to see our brother. I come by to see Brother JT not too long ago, and he was off somewhere. I don't know where he was going to, but I couldn't find him, so I went down into the little town right down below you and spent the night and thought maybe you might come in and come down that way, but you never did come, so the next morning I left. But anyway, it's real good to be here. We've been in tent meeting. We was in a tent meeting over in High Point, North Carolina, and God really blessed us in attendance and with a wonderful spirit, and the people was really receptive. The tent wasn't as big as this one. It was a smaller tent, but we had people outside. We had a terrific meeting there. And then we was in a tent over in Charlotte and had a wonderful response. And then we was in a tent over in Stanley and had a wonderful response. And then we were in the tent, which was the huge gospel tent. It's a mammoth of a thing out in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we had a wonderful response. Now here we're over here, under the tent, here in Indiana. So it looks like that we've just been kind of in a tent cycle, Brother Wayne, for the last few weeks. God's really doing something. Never before has people been in the kind of attitude or spirit as they are now. Now, it's not a real Pentecostal attitude the way that a lot of us understand it. But we've been having some meetings where the Spirit of God has been real and come down, Brother JT, and people were mellow and sweet like when Jesus comes around. And I've really enjoyed it. From the bottom of my heart, I've really enjoyed it. And I'm enjoying this tonight. I'm just enjoying being here. I think it's a real privilege that our brother would let us come and minister under his beautiful tent. And I am real thankful to God to be here and have the opportunity to minister. I felt like that things wouldn't really be underway until long about tonight or Saturday or Sunday. So that's one reason that we didn't try to contact you, Brother JT. Some of them told us that you was going to put it up, and then I made arrangements, and then they said you changed your mind, and Brother Hardy had up a tent, I believe, and then, I got word concerning the brochures late, and then when I finally did get them up, it was still in a different place. So, but anyway, I spoke of the revelation of what I saw in it being first to be at Cementville, and it was just, according to what I could see, it was just beautiful. So there wasn't no mistakes. God was doing everything just right. Honestly, when you talk like this, I know that people wonder. That's the first thing they do is wonder. But never in the history of the world has anything happened like it's happening now. Now, if you can see, that's good. Jesus spoke of people that have eyes and yet they can't see. And they have ears and they can't hear. But there has been nothing like this, never. And I am thankful to God that I do see it. I really, truly see it. I've been watching it for a long time, and I see it right on out to the finishing line, and this tent is playing a major part in it right here. Whether you believe it or not, that's true. And I know that just being here for a service or two or to try to exhort you, there wouldn't be any way that I could tell you. But I tell you what, we've got some of it on tape. If you ever get a chance to send for a tape and you won't listen, some of it's on tape. And I believe you could understand what we're saying. It's just a real privilege to be here tonight. And I hope I can say something, the Lord be willing. You know, I say this as I go to read here. There's one trouble with the church of today, and it's not the preachers. You know, folks love to believe that the trouble with the church today is the preacher, but that's not at all it. The Bible tells us that there'll be a famine in the last days, but the famine is not for the Word, it's not that. Nor it's not for preachers that can preach the Word. It's not for them. It's not for a congregation as far as multitude of people. Be plenty of people in church. But the fanning is for the hearing of the Word. People have to learn to hear. The Bible said be easy to teach, and you've got to learn to hear. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and it takes the preacher to bring the Word. But you've got to learn to hear. When you get to the place to where you can hear, then faith begins to come and the Spirit of God begins to move. But there's no moving of the Spirit unless there's faith. And there's no faith unless there is the Word, and there's no Word unless there is the preacher. But even if the preacher is present, and even if the preacher is preaching the Word, if there is no hearing, then there's no moving of the Spirit. Because God moves by faith. I've often made the statement that we could have all the power units that we wanted to around us, and all of the power could be coming in around us, but unless there is a living receptacle to pick up the light and project the light, there won't be any light. See, you've got to be alive to be able to bring the light into the earth. It takes you as an individual to be able to cause the Spirit to move. It doesn't take the preacher. The preacher is a power unit that's supposed to stay in touch with God, and if he is a real preacher, he will stay in touch with God. And it's up to him to project the power, but it's up to you to turn on the light so that the light can shine that people might see it. Got a little song that says, let the lower lights be burning, and hear the lower lights tonight. And God is expecting you to turn on tonight to where you can shine out for the world, that the world can see you in all of your brilliance and all of your brightness. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me over in the book of Revelation. I've read this scripture so many times, but I felt like reading it tonight. Chapter 2 in the 7th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want you to notice that he said here, if you can hear. If you can hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then if you can hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, he said you'll be able to overcome. And then if you can overcome, he said, I will give unto him that overcometh the hidden manna that's from the tree that's in the paradise of God. From the tree that's in the paradise of God. Did you know that people are cut off from the tree of life? How many of you understand that that's right? Through Adam, people are cut off from the tree of life. That's why that the churches are so dry tonight. They've actually been cut off from the tree of life, and there is no projecting of life in the earth tonight. God gave to Adam life, and Adam had life, but Adam did not abide within the presence of life, and because of that, in wandering away from God, he got the wrong understanding, and when he got the wrong understanding from the tree of knowledge, his faith withered away on him, and when his faith went away, God could not make contact with him anymore. Since that time, Adam and all of his descendants have been the same in the same condition. They've been continually dying and getting farther and farther away from God. And God has from that time forward sent men into the earth that have been ministers of life to try to catch the attention of the people to bring them back to the tree of life. And so then he says here in the book of Revelation, he said, if you've got an ear to hear, if you'll hear what the minister's telling you, and hear what the Spirit saith unto you, then from that time and from that place on, I will make you an overcomer, and you'll be able to partake of the tree of life and live forever. You know, Satan is cunning. He wanted to be able to get to that tree of life after that he caused Adam to sin. That was his plan. If he could pervert Adam, lead Adam away from God, and pervert him and make him to be what he wanted him to be, then turn him back to the tree of life and cause him to partake of the tree of life, he would have a generation that God could not have destroyed. But God cut him off and would not let him get to the tree of life after that he become perverted. And all of his descendants are in the same condition. God is trying to reach us tonight with a message. But how many of you know that there's twins in every service? There's twins, and I can stand here tonight, Brother J.T., and I can preach to you tonight, or the minister can minister to you tonight. But in preaching to you, all that we can do is bring to your hearing the Word of God. And we can indoctrinate you in your intellectual being or understanding with the Word of God. But that does not bring salvation, nor does it bring faith. You've got to get beyond that if you ever get anything from God. There is a secret to it, and that secret is that the Holy Ghost that's down in your heart, or He that talks to your heart, must take that from your mind and transfer it to your heart and turn it into faith before it can be beneficial. The first twin will get it up here. Both people will get it up here. They'll get an intellectual indoctrination, but they will not get faith unto salvation. It takes God to put it in the heart. It's got to be God that will bring it down into your heart to turn it into faith that you might be able to be translated and escape death. I think the thing that's caused most people to be in the condition they're in today is the fact that they have some kind of feeling that the rapture is just going to take place and God's going to sweep down with the Holy Ghost and just take everybody up to heaven. But my friend tonight, those people that are of this opinion are bound to be lost. There's no way that they can ever get in. There's no way. We make the mistake of waiting for the midnight cry, as we call it. And we have the feeling that it's the midnight cry, that this great translation is going to take place, and then we're going to be caught away. But there's got to be something that's coming before the catching away, Brother J.T., that's going to make the people go through a change. When the Bible speaks of the midnight cry, it says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Not that he's already come, but behold, he cometh. Now then, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, when he breaks the heavens, he's not coming, he's already here. Who's going to go out and give a midnight cry when the Lord Jesus is already standing out there in the heavens? I'll be shaking, you'll be shaking, everybody will be shaking at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Not only shaking earth, but shaking heaven. But friend, let me tell you something. There's got to be a midnight cry, whereas somebody has got to preach a message to wake the people up, to get them to trim the lamps, and say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise up, trim your lamps, then go out to meet him." Amen. So then, there's got to be a stirring in the land. There's got to be somebody to preach it. Did you know that the church is hard and fast asleep? A lot of folks say, "Brother Pike, I know that the world is asleep, but I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church being asleep tonight." Somebody said, "Now, do you really believe that the church is asleep?" The church is hard and fast asleep tonight. And there's got to be a midnight cry to wake them up. You say, "Well, if the church is asleep, who's going to wake them up?" He said, "I will set ministers or watchmen," he said, "upon your walls that shall never hold the priest." Everybody was asleep at the midnight cry except the watchmen. That was the only ones that was awake. It was the watchmen that sounded the alarm that the people might wake up and go out to meet God, get ready to go out to meet God. It has to be the minister, the true ministry. I know that we've got hundreds of people in the land today that are not ministers. People say, "I'm called to preach. I'm a minister," but they're not a minister. All they are is just something to cause problems and just a decoy to keep people away from the true ministry that they might not listen to the Word. But my brother and sister tonight, there is a voice of God in a ministry in the world today, and it's giving a cry for the people to rise up and begin to perfect themselves in God and get ready for the translation which is going to take place by faith. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. It's not a matter of sitting around hoping that something would take place. It said Enoch was translated by faith. It wasn't no suddenly sweeping down of the Spirit of God. It was something that Enoch had to do. The Bible said he was translated by faith. And it's going to take faith to translate you. The Bible teaches that if we get into the kingdom of God, we're translated in the kingdom of God. And the only way to get in is we've got to be translated by faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of a message. There's got to be a message. There's got to be a doctrine. There's got to be a word. There's got to be something in the world or in the land that's going to give you faith. That's a good way to get out. Going to give you faith that you might be able to be translated. I wanted to get in here, but I didn't want to get in quite that quick. Now, I'm persuaded that inasmuch as everybody's asleep tonight, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, the foolish virgins are asleep, the virgins who are not foolish are asleep, all of the virgins were asleep, the entire church world was asleep, and the entire world was asleep, and everybody was asleep at the midnight cry. That means tonight, church world, you're asleep. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm not asleep. I know you're not asleep as far as looking at me. I know you're not asleep as far as beholding me up here preaching with your natural eyes. But your spiritual man is hard and fast asleep. He can't hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He can't hear. He can't see what God's doing. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you think I can see what God's doing? The Bible said, a wicked and a sinful, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The only thing that the church world can see is something that happens naturally on the outside. If there's some natural miracle that takes place, then they can see that. But that doesn't mean you're awake. The world can see that. But there's something taking place tonight in the Spirit of God and in heaven tonight that you need to get your eyes open for. Then there's something taking place. There's got to be something taking place. I thank God tonight that I'm able to see what's going on in another world tonight. I see it. I've been watching it for a number of years. There is something going on. At one time, it was among the church members, just out there doing just like any church member would do. I wasn't thinking anything about Christ or the coming of the Lord. But one day, when I got in the Spirit, as John did, on the Lord's Day, as I began to get into the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Paul did, for about 3.5 years over there, then I began to realize that something was taking place that I hadn't seen before. And my friend, tonight, while we're sitting here, the great hand and power of God's moving tonight. I come here to this tent by a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here tonight. That's the truth. I've watched it for a number of years and moved in the revelation. As Paul said, I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. And tonight, I'm here by revelation. Here we sit, and I can tell, even though you're a wonderful bunch of people, I don't feel any repercussion as far as fighting back, but I don't feel a hunger. I don't feel a sincere thirst for God in here. I don't feel any thirst. I don't feel any moving. I don't feel any hunger tonight. What's the matter with you? It's because you are asleep, my brother and sister. You are asleep tonight. But the cry came, and they awoke. And they trimmed the lamps. Brother J.T., something stirred them up. Something woke them up. After a while, as the man yawning and coming out of a deep sleep, he began to hear. Like the Lord said to Job one time, two times, many times, that God speaks unto you while deep sleep is upon you. While deep sleep is upon you. But ye perceive not, the Bible said. But God has been in your midst and God has spoken to you. And tonight God is speaking to you. In your midst tonight, the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. There is something that's going on tonight. God is speaking. There is a rally coming forward. Did you know I can feel the Spirit begin to move just a little bit then? Something stirred your faith. When I said, you're awakening up, I felt the virtues. You begin to draw a little bit of virtue. I felt the stimulation. You're waking up just a little bit. My brother and sister, we better wake up. The end of the world is here. The church ages have gone and passed us by. And here we are. The harvest is past, as the Bible says, the winter's upon us. And we're not saved yet. It's time that we got stirred up. It's time that we got woke up. It's time that we begin to realize something's happening. You've heard so many sermons, heard so much, until you've decided there is nothing that God can do or going to do. But my brother, He is doing something. He's doing something tonight. God came to you as a natural individual. He moved among you as a natural individual throughout the ministry for a number of years. You've seen signs and you've seen wonders and you've seen all those things. But my brother, that didn't get you to God, did it? It didn't get you to God. But it was enough to catch the attention of the true elect that they might look unto God. But tonight there's something that's moving in the Spirit tonight. Something invisible that's moving tonight. And God is trying to get you over Jordan tonight. Amen. To go into the spiritual realms that He might be able to do something for you. Amen. All you got to do is come over and get a taste of it. It's real. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I heard about it, but what about the giant? Don't worry about it. We're well able to take the land. There ain't a thing they can do but take a bow. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Joshua and those people got over there, Brother J.T. started marching around the walls of Jericho, it wasn't long before they crumbled down to the ground. Amen. And the people were defeated. God's on our side. God's on our side. Joshua looked up there and he saw that moon and sun, and he said to the sun, he said, "Sun, stand still." And the Bible said over the city of Gibeon, the sun stood still. And he turned and he said to the moon, he said, "Stand still." And the Bible said in the valley of Ajalon, the moon stood still. Telling the moon to stand still in the valley of Ajalon, the sun to stand still over Gibeon. And the battle began to rage. But it still wasn't enough. The Bible said God began to move, and he reached up and got hailstones, and he began to draw back in the slingshots of heaven and began to flood the earth with those hailstones. The Bible said that he fought for Israel. He held the sun up for a whole day and didn't let it go down. And he fought for Israel, my brother. God's going to fight for us. God's going to fight for us. He's going to bring this thing to pass, Brother J.P. There's something in the making, Brother James, like we've never seen before. And Brother J.P. said tonight up here, "This isn't the end of it. My dear brother, this is the beginning of it." Hallelujah. You know what's got to happen? You got to come out of your graves, O Israel. Come out of your graves, O Israel. Hallelujah. He said over there to Ezekiel, said, "You think these bones will ever live?" He said, "Lord, you know." They were pretty dry, and Ezekiel didn't want to do no predicting about it. He said, "I'd rather get a prophecy, Lord." He said, "You know." He said, "Well, Ezekiel, do you think they can live?" He said, "Lord, you know." He said, "Prophesy to them. Tell them to come out of the grave." He said, "And prophesy the word of the Lord." The Bible said he began to prophesy the word of the Lord. And there must have been some faith that took place. And all of a sudden there was a shaking, and Israel began to come to her defense. And faith began to happen, my brother and sister. Oh, glory to God. I ain't discouraged. You know what? I'm telling you the truth. If I didn't know what I know, if I didn't see what I see, if I didn't know there was something, know there's a revelation, when I got in the midst of people that didn't have no drawing and no thirsting, I'd rack up and I'd quit because I'd just die with them. Amen. I'd do like that fellow that said over there. He said, "Lazarus dead." He said, "Come on, let's go down and die with him." Jesus, "I ain't want to die with him. I ain't going to die with him. I want to resurrect him." Amen. Hallelujah. Brother J.K. and I, we didn't come out here to die with him. We come out here to resurrect him. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "I'm already resurrected. Will you help us resurrect the rest of them?" I tell you what, you could say amen if he's resurrected. At least I'd know he's alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you give a good little talk, even the president gets a hand once in a while, and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If the president was out here tonight, the whole country would be out seeing here Christ Jesus out here and can't even get a good amen. Something is taking place, my brother and sister. My God, what a time, what a day, what an hour. Never before in the history of the world has God ever offered his people the opportunity to get up as a great army like Joel and begin to march across the land and take the king of this world, Brother Coon, and turn him into the kingdom of God. My land, this is the time when we can get back to that hidden manner. He said, if you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church, and then if you can have faith, then you can overcome, and he'll give you the hidden manner, my brother and sister. There's some hidden manner around tonight. If you want to feed off of it, just turn your heart into heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a lot of things I'd like to hear, Jesus said, but you're dull of hearing. Amen. If I dull of spiritual hearing. Amen. If I said some things tonight to you, I'm sure that it would cause you to think like you ought not think. Because you're not spiritual like you ought to be. But we're here to tell you tonight that something is taking place. Not just here on the tent represents it. This is the representation of it here because this tent was supposed to be here, white tent, red, just like it is. It was supposed to be put here for a spiritual purpose. God had Brother J.T. close to my tent that he made him to do that. He brought him here. But my brother, this little thing that's happening here, and it's not a little thing, but it's a little thing to the world. But this little thing here, as they would say, is happening here. It has to do with the whole universe and the very ages of God that is to come. You couldn't imagine tonight if you're not spiritual. What's the significance of this tent sitting here? My land, years ago, I preached revivals in the tent. I preached night after night and tried to stir the people and tell them something. And at that time, I never realized what God was fixing to do. One day God said to me, he said, come on, son, I want to talk with you. He done me like Paul. He got me way out in the wilderness somewhere. And he said, I've got somewhat to say to you. And I said, well, Lord, I sure want to know about it. And after God got to talking to me, I said, my God, my God, my God, is there such a thing going on? But there is. Like a fellow that come down the other day. He come down to visit with us from California. He's working with Brother Delmer on the Big Tenth out there, putting it up in Atlanta, Georgia. This is another great move of God going up in Atlanta that has directly connections with us right here. And this boy come over, and he began to talk, and he had all the answers. And when I talked to him, had all the answers, and I just listened. He kept on, he had all the answers, like the one that come down from Pennsylvania. Had all the answers, so I just listened. And after a while, when he got through telling me what was rotten, how it was, and everything, I just dropped in a few thoughts that had come down to me from heaven. He grabbed his head and he said, my God, he said. And he done like that and he turned red. He said, my God, can this thing be for real? I said, yeah, it's real. Hallelujah. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. I never heard anything like this in my life. I said, well, I said, it's real. He said, Brother Pike, said, I've been to all the churches across, different kind of churches across the world, whether he had not on and not alive. But he said, I've been to all the different churches across the world, and I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. You don't want to know where it comes from. It comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus. It's real. My friend, like the brother said tonight, this thing that's going to happen is going to be so different. It's going to be so different from anything that we've ever had before until it's bound to translate the church. It's bound to translate the church. When the preacher gets a hold of this thing and he starts preaching and gives it to you and you'll just part up, stand up here, and then after you toss it around a little bit up there, and then God transfers it down in the heart and turns it into faith, it's going to rapture and translate the church. Hallelujah. I can preach healing to you tonight. And I can tell you to hold on up here. And if you hold on up here, God will do something for you. And you'll keep holding on up here, but that won't heal you. But I've got to indoctrinate you up there before it can get down here, Brother James. But my brother and sister, if I ever get it up there right, and then you hold on to it after a while and get down here, and then God will turn it into faith for the heart man believing. And then it'll translate your being, it'll heal you. Amen. That reminds me, I just think it. Brother James, I felt like he'd be here at this meeting. I told somebody, I said, according to what I understand, Brother James. Somebody there. I said, somebody said, I want to go to the meeting. I said, well, according to what I understand, he's going. So I see he's here tonight. Now, this boy right here, come to think of it, we just had a miracle, didn't we, Brother James, with your mother? Just had a miracle. Sent handkerchiefs out from the tabernacle. His mother was an invalid in a wheelchair. Couldn't walk, and I believe maybe not even crawl. I don't remember what it was now. But I know she couldn't walk, and her legs had perished away, he said. And the doctor said, we can't do nothing for you, you're hopeless case. And the mother was in a terrible fix. But we prayed and sent those handkerchiefs out, and the brethren them called on God, and I said, I felt something happen. James took faith for his mother and said, I'm going to take it there, and said, something's going to take place. Sent it to her, and within a few short weeks, he called up, and she was out of the wheelchair, helping the daddy, but stopping the freezing, and then she's going strong. God's healed and done her up when the doctor said it couldn't be done. Why is it? Because faith did it. It was faith, she believed. The man over at the gate called Beautiful, when he prayed for the man over there, it didn't heal him. When Peter prayed for that man, my brother, that didn't heal him. When he said, get up in the name of Jesus, that didn't heal him. That didn't heal him. But the Bible said Peter had to pick him up. He wasn't healed because Peter had to pick him up. But the Bible said when Peter exercised his faith, reached down, picked him up, and the man exercised his faith, then immediately the ankles received the strength. The ankle bones did. And then he went leaping and praising God into the temple, glorifying God for what had been done. That's the trouble with the church. We say God's not doing anything. My brother Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. It's because you haven't got your faith up in God. You get your faith stirred up and start moving in God and watch and see if something will happen. God's a real God. Hallelujah, I'm feeling religious. I'm feeling a little more faith. I tell you what, we need to get stirred up in God. We need to wake up. There's something taking place, my friend, across the world today. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. If you've got ears to hear, now's the time to hear. If you've got eyes to see, now's the time to see. Hallelujah. I'm always reminded of the vision I told so many times. I was standing in a vision. I was looking up in heaven, and I saw some things taking place in heaven, and I kept telling the people, I said, folks, look what's taking place in heaven. And they kept looking at me kind of funny. I said, my God, don't you see what's taking place in heaven? But I soon become aware of the fact that they didn't see what was taking place in heaven. But the Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. When we get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, then something can happen and we can see what's taking place in heaven. But we've got to get in the Spirit. Got to get in the Spirit. Are you in the Spirit tonight? Are you in the Spirit tonight? The Bible said while Cornelius preached them down there, the Holy Ghost fell on them. I was in the congregation the other night watching to see. Everything was kind of dead, and all of a sudden I felt the Holy Ghost fall on them. And the Holy Ghost is the same everywhere. Did you know that? He's the same Holy Ghost. He's the same right here. He wants to bring something right here. Somebody said, Brother Frank, there won't be nothing to come out of this, but I beg your pardon, there will be. I said, if I was like some of you folks that didn't know what was going on and couldn't see nothing, I wouldn't even come up here. And certainly after come up here, I sure turned around and left. That's not what that JP was up against. But the revelation of God shows us the moon to be here. But God's got to bring forth the people. Amen. There's going to unite body with spirit and spirit with soul, and there's going to be a great moving of God. Tell there's something coming off in Atlanta, Georgia, too. Something said to me the other day, in Atlanta, Georgia, it said, in Atlanta, Georgia, there'll be a revival. It must first be in Atlanta, Georgia. It must first be in Atlanta, Georgia, and then to the world. Hallelujah. Agreed with what my sister had a vision. And in the vision, she saw a revival hit Atlanta, Georgia, and spread all over the world, so they couldn't stop it. And this tent meeting has to do with it right here tonight. You say, I don't believe it, but it does. If you knew Revelation tonight, you know that it did. It has to do with the tent meeting was out in Little Rock Inn. It has to do with it. The one we was in over at High Point has to do with it. I say, Brother Pike, everybody has to do with it. No, they don't. Not everybody has to do with it. But them that have faith in God and where God's moving. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't born in all the world. He was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Praise God. This great prophet, William Branham, that lived here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, he wasn't born in all the world. Born in Kentucky. He didn't live in all the world. He lived here. I went to visit in other parts of the world, but this is where he lived. Until he went to Arizona and lived in Arizona. You love the Lord? What's the matter with us tonight, folks? It's because we don't believe. We don't believe tonight. We've got to believe. There's got to be a stirring. You say, Brother Pike, what can I believe? The Word. Believe in the Word tonight. The Bible said, preach the Word. We don't need something else. People are looking for everything and say, well, I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that and I'm looking for something else to bring a revival. The Word brings a revival. In the beginning was the Word. The Word spoke and a world come into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word boomed and you come into existence. And when the Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ broke the earth. Healing took place and everything began to move. Amen. It was the Word. God's got the Word tonight. Amen. He said there'll be a famine for the hearing of God's Word. For the Word. My brother, the Word's here confronting you. But tonight you need to hear. You need to believe. You're going to have to hear before you can believe. You're going to have to get a hunger. Get a thirst. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. What are we going to do with God? What are we going to do with the Word? You say, well, what's the need, Brother Pike? The need is because you're going to die and go to hell if you don't believe. The Bible said unbelief is sin. That is not a faith is sin. If you can't believe, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. It does me good to see these ladies in these long dresses. I appreciate that. Somebody said, well, I'd go out, but I don't know where I'm supposed to or not. Well, it's all right. I tell you what, the Bible said we have to follow in His steps. Is that right? Even you ladies could learn something from that. The Bible said when John saw him over the book of Revelation, said he had a garment bound in his feet. Amen. I hate to know that I'd go stand before God as a woman, and him as a man lying down to his feet, and you know, I wouldn't do it. You could say, man, it's all right. It's the Bible. The Bible said, preach the Word. In Revelation, it said it was down to his feet. Praise God. He set an example for you ladies. Hallelujah. Like somebody said the other day, I pulled up the service station. It was real hot and was going to get some gas over there. And a young fellow over there, you can tell he's filled with lust. He looked over at me and said, I tell you what, so tell your wife. I said, she's a remarkable woman. I said, why? He said, any woman can wear a long dress in this kind of weather here. Said, she's got to be remarkable. I got to thinking about it and I thought, well, I don't see what's so remarkable about that. I wear long pants all the time. Hot weather, cold weather, whatever it is. What's so remarkable about that? Amen. You love the Lord? I believe we need a revival But it's a revival of the Word. Hallelujah. Getting back to the Word of God. If we come back to the Word, God's going to do something in church, folks. There's a famine for the hearing of the Word. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. I want you to stand with me. I feel like I could go on and on, just barely breaking the crust a little and getting to where you're kind of moving the Spirit just a tiny bit. Praise God. Getting you where you just barely move just a little bit. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to make it a long, drawn-out thing. We're not going to worry tonight. But I want you to know tonight, if you've got an ear to hear, let him hear the Word tonight. Let him hear the Word. There's watchmen on the wall, the midnight cries here. Look at the Negro people, how they're covering up the country. Look how they're covering up the country, my brother and sister. Good people, a lot of good Negro people that love God, it don't make them any different from us. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I tell you, I don't see it like you do. I think the Negroes are such and such and such. Well, that just shows your spiritual ignorance. I try and say, well, I don't think they're such and such. Well, it just shows where you need to move up. The Bible said God is, or Eve is the mother of all living. Is that right? I said Eve was the mother of the Negro. Did you ever stop to think about it? Eve is the mother of the German. Eve is the mother of the Japanese. Said she was the mother of all living. It was God that was doing it. It was God that made you white, made him a black man. It was God that made a yellow man and a red man. Eve was the mother of all living. Look at the Negroes rising up. Right now, covering the land with a type of darkness. Gross darkness covering the people. Covering the land right now. Is that right? Moving over the land right now. Type. Moving over the land right now. How many of you know that God's a spirit, according to John 4:24? How many of you know that God speaks to us tonight like the old Indian sign language? How many of you understand this Bible? God being a spirit, he educates us with types and shadows and reveals himself unto us through types and shadows. And if you get acquainted with them, then God can communicate with you. Amen. Like he spoke to Brother Branham out of the trees. Spoke to Paul when Paul said them two wives were the type of old and new Jerusalem over there. Allegories, types and shadows. That's the reason, folks, that we don't get anywhere with God. We're not spiritual. We need to get to where God can communicate with us. God wants to tell you something tonight. God wants to speak to you tonight. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. I want you to stand with me. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Can we sing the song Amazing Grace? I like this little song. It seems to express the way I feel and the way I think. Can we sing it? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I wonder if you would see tonight. Can you lift your hands up to God? Praise God. 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 You love the Lord. You love the Lord. God wants to help us, folks. God wants to heal us. God wants to deliver us. He wants to do something for us. But we've got to believe. Got to believe. Can I say this to you right here? Listen. A lot of people get the wrong idea. They say, well, if you preach, if you're a man of God, you just come through and you heal the sick like that. God doesn't work like that. Somebody said, well, if it was Paul, it would probably be different. But the Bible said Paul left one of his workers nine to death. Why didn't he heal him? So he left him nine to death. Went over to another place and I left him back there and nine to death. Why didn't he heal him? right into here and say, well, Paul wasn't over there, but the Bible said he left him in that kind of condition. Went right over to another fellow who perceived he had faith to be healed, said, stand on your feet, Jesus Christ, make him be whole. The Lord Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why didn't he heal everybody? Somebody said, well, he healed everybody. What about healing all that was oppressed? That was all that would believe. Now, you say, adding to the word, the Bible said rightly divide the scriptures. It couldn't have meant that he healed everybody come to. He said, why? Because the Bible's contrary to it. The Bible said he entered into a city and many mighty miracles he could not do because of their unbelief. Only lay his hands on the sick folks and healed a few sick folks. My brother, if you get to believe in somebody said the preacher can do it, if you get to believe in like you ought to, you wouldn't even have to worry about the preacher. Somebody's trying to blame the preacher with it. If you believe like you ought to believe, you wouldn't even have to worry about the preacher doing it. Amen. God still moves in the church. The hills, the gifts are in the church. One spirit, many operations. God's in the church tonight. There's healing in the church. The Israel said there wasn't one sick among them. Amen. God's moving. God will heal you. God will do something for you. In this meeting right here, I don't know how long you've been going, but I can tell you one thing. If you'll get in here, God will give a revival in this place. If you'll get in here and mean business with God and turn your faith over in the hands of Christ, God will bring you here and God will do something for you. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I hope this don't sound offensive. Hope it don't sound offensive. I'm probably saying the wrong thing to start with. But somebody keeps coming back telling me about a witch up here. Paul said, who has bewitched you? I hope you ain't got bewitched. Somebody said, well, Pat, y'all not say that. And maybe I'm not, but it doesn't say it in here. You just have to pray for him. Amos, what happened to Saul? You let a witch get in. Is that right? But I tell you what, you can get the witch out. I said, you can get the witch out. You know what they used to do to him? Stone him to death. Somebody said, Brother Clark, do you believe you ought to kill folks? There's some spiritual stones. If you know somebody's a witch, it's what you ought to do to them. You know why some folks don't? They think they're pretty. I said, they like that enchanting sort of an evil, lustful devil they got. That's right. You can say amen. We'll laugh for both of them. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, God's got something better. God's better. You love the Lord? Say amen if you love the Lord. Glory to God, we need to get stirred up. There's no time to get up and go. I love you. God bless you. You pray for me. I believe tonight that God will do something for you if you believe. Tonight, we're not going to call you up here to pray for you. I'm going to turn service back to Brother JT. But I tell you this, I love you tonight. I appreciate you tonight. I want to help you tonight. If there's any way in the world I can help you, my friend, I'll help you. I love you. Brother JT loves you. Or he wouldn't be here. He's trying to do something for you. Can you believe Brother JT loves you? You think he'd come over here and set this tent way over here just like this and didn't love you? He loves you tonight. I love you. I wouldn't come up here if I didn't love you. I'm sure you wouldn't be here unless you cared. I'm sure you wouldn't. But let me tell you something tonight. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe. If you believe, I promise you that in this meeting, whether I preach, whether JT preaches, whoever preaches, I promise you in the name of the Lord that you'll get your healing, something will take place, and something great will be moving in your life at the end of this meeting. I'll tell you what, if you don't get loose and something will happen to you, if you don't feel a moving of the Spirit, if you don't feel freedom, the Bible said where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. If you don't feel the yoke broken, the bond taken off of you, come back and tell us, boy, you're a false teacher. Amen. That's right. Now, I said, but look, Pike, I know a lot of people that don't get free. I said, if you do what I tell you, if you do what I tell you. You love the Lord? Like I went to a brother not too long ago, Brother Franklin Walden. Some of you might know him, a great man across the world, lost tremendous crowds. One of the great men. He took sick and was in dying condition. I hadn't felt to go pray for him. I hadn't felt to go over there. A great man, and who was I to go pray for him? But the Lord spoke to me and said, go tell him. And I went to him and I said, Brother Walden, if you think you're going to die, you're mistaken. He was in a dying condition then. Then passed as many stones. The doctor said it was impossible to pass as many stones as to pass and be alive. But God kept him alive. God passed away and got down to where he was a little old bitty fella. He weighed well over 200 pounds. I said, if you'll do what God wants you to do, and I began to tell him what I understood, I said, if you'll do it, you won't die. You won't die. And he was in such a shape, he had to lay down on the sofa to listen to me talk. He was in that kind of condition, in a dying condition. But my brother, he began to make some changes. He began to make some changes and come into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. God began to raise him up, and now he's going strong. He was up testifying before a multitude of people not too long ago, telling them how the Lord sent us over and testified to him. God's a healer. Yeah. I feel religious. Glory to God, you might not feel that, but I do. Yeah. Amen, I feel something. Every time, every now and then I feel somebody throw a little water out, you know, kind of dampen it down, but you can't put it out. You can't put it out. This kind of fire you can't put out. You might as well just get and go with it. You love the Lord. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. And I hope that you'll continue to come back every night, Lord Jesus.